Welcome to Leading with Grit, a series about helping you inspire action and accountability with generosity, respect, integrity, and truth. Today's episode is made possible by Unlimited Coaching Solutions, coaching and training to help you get results through your people, making a positive impact on your organization's bottom line. And now, here are today's hosts, Todd Schnick and Lori Sudbrink.
Good morning and welcome back to our special edition series, Leading with Grit. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Lori Sudbrink. Good morning, Lori. Looking forward to this one.
Good morning, Todd. Me too.
All right. Well, in the series today, we're going to be talking about the role communication plays in Leading with Grit. Before we go there, quick overview of Leading with Grit. Why is this series so important?
You know, you think about it could either be from a personal standpoint or from, you know, a workplace kind of standpoint, and whether you're a formal or an informal leader, but grit allows us to take a look inside and step up to be that kind of leader that we all have a potential to be. So it helps us to be genuine, authentic, and productive at the same time. And using generosity, respect, integrity, and truth, it provides kind of a roadmap, as we've been talking about, as well as an awareness tool. And so we start with truth, looking at who we are, what's important to us, our strengths, our limitations. And then we look at integrity, which is the action of our truth. Are we aligning to what we say is important to us? Then respect and generosity come next. And are we respecting ourselves? First of all, if we know our truth and we're living that, that's a part of respect. And then are we respecting other people? Are we noticing their differences? Are we not taking things personally and making assumptions, things along those lines? And generosity comes quite naturally. And we learned in the last episode that we need to be careful not to give too much in some areas. You can be overly generous. So it helps us with that kind of ratio of where we're giving and how we're giving when we have our grit together, so to speak.
Well, I mean, today's conversation is all around communication, but if you've been paying attention to the whole series, communication is an integral part of this. And as I've come to understand through my study of having my grit together, is that it's operating with grit makes good communication possible. That's how it works.
It really is, you know, and anybody knows really that the role of communication in not only the workplace, but any relationship. And it's what's connecting people. It's what's helping us to relate to each other. And so we need to be able to come from a place of good intent when we're communicating. And that's what we were talking about when we were looking at generosity, respect, integrity, and truth. It allows us to align our intent in the right way, in a positive way. So it's helpful, not hurtful. And so when we're talking about connecting and relating to people, we're talking about interpersonally, you know, from an emotional intelligence standpoint, are we really understanding what it takes to connect with another person? Are we doing it in a way that we meet that person where they are? So it's not that we're changing who we are, but we're adjusting and adapting ourselves enough to talk their language, so to speak. In fact, I had a quick story about a real story about a boss that I had way back in my early days. And I remember he was very, what you call from the DISC language, DC. So direct to the point, you know, not very sociable and very fast paced. And he'd walk in the office, slam the door. He wouldn't stop and say good morning or anything. And he was new to the company and I had been in the position a while. And I remember, you remember I'm a DI, which means not only fast paced, but it means open mouth, insert foot at times. And I remember saying to him one day, you know, what's the matter? Don't you like me? And he just stopped and looked at me as if I was an alien or something. He had no idea what I was talking about. He had no idea he was coming across that way at all. And it was really fascinating, though, what happened after that. He decided to adjust and adapt and change his communication and his way of interacting with me to connect and relate better. Now, he didn't have to. He could have said, you know, suck it up, Sally, too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and he could have expected me to change, but he didn't. And this is really the whole essence of looking at grit and even the five steps of change and in our own communication, in that look at what you can change and see how you can adjust and adapt your own communication to be more effective with someone else with the intent of connecting, relating, and communicating more effectively.
Well, I think this has been a common theme. And I think it's important to reiterate here, because I think it echoes what you're just saying is, now, if you are operating and you have your grit together. It would be in an ideal world, you're interacting with other people who have their grit together. That's probably not going to be a very common scenario, right? So
exactly.
The whole point of this is, no, this isn't only going to work if you're talking to two people who are operating from grit. But having your own grit together enables you to interact with a world that's not operating that way. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a very fair assessment. And I think that's probably one of the most powerful things about grit, because we know that we're going to be in situations that are challenging. We're going to be with people that are challenging. It's not a perfect world. Everybody's not going to have their grit together. And quite frankly, even though I wrote the book on it, I'm going to have moments that I'm not going to have my grit together. But, you know, being able to be real, genuine, respect that this is what it is. With grit, it allows us to not make a lot of judgments about it, not react to it, not let it push our buttons, but to realize that I'm here to help. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be direct and tough sometimes with my communication. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to be, oh, nicey, nice. It means that I'm going to be very mindful in what I term in the book as an intentional leader. I know how to communicate effectively in each situation to get the results that we're looking for in a way that's helpful to people, not hurtful to people.
I think I read in the book that the number one complaint that a workplace has about their boss is that he or she doesn't listen.
Oh, yeah.
So listening is obviously really critical here, because I've come to understand that when you do listen to someone, that is showing respect and it's a generous act.
It sure is, you know, and to be able to really listen, you know, it's one thing to be looking at somebody and shaking your head and you're pretending that you're listening, but you're really just waiting to say what you have to say, or you're thinking of something else entirely. And it's like, how do we really hone in and stay present in the moment? And grit helps us to do that, because again, you're aligned in a way and you're respecting other people, but being able to, I use an acronym called LAUGH, and I say laugh with your staff. That helps me remember this as well. And I share this in my leadership classes, but LAUGH stands for listen, acknowledge, and follow up. And so listening at a level of, like I was saying earlier, not just pretending you're listening, but really being in the moment and listening. Listening, sometimes we need to listen empathically. And we've all heard active listening is important. And active listening, as we know, is being able to repeat back what somebody said so that you clarify understanding. Empathic listening is the same thing, and you're checking in on how somebody's feeling. And that can really help you connect and relate better to somebody. Now, you don't always need to use empathic listening, but sometimes you do need to say, well, geez, Todd, it looks like you're a little frustrated with this. Or you just check in on that way, and it just helps them to see, A, that you care, and B, that you understand and you can relate to them. And another emotional intelligence component to be able to do that.
Well, you told a story in your book about the cab ride you had.
Yes.
And how he didn't charge you a fare because he was so blown away by the fact that you empathically listened to him and his tale. And he had a tough thing going. I asked the audience to translate that kind of an experience in a workplace and what a profound impact that can have on how you go about your day.
It sure can, because when people feel like they're being listened to, they feel like, and that you acknowledge them, that just, it makes them feel worthy. It makes them feel valuable. And they're a lot more motivated. They have more generosity toward what needs to get done. Going back to what we've said a couple of times, people feel like they want to follow you, not like they have to follow you. It builds trust. It helps that bank account of trust. But going back to communication even, it makes more efficient communication, because we get this level of feeling that somebody trusts and cares about us. And it's like you kind of get on the same page with each other, and you don't need to have as much dialogue once we get to that level.
Well, I think it's important to note that I think people forget that listening is a communication skill.
Yeah.
We all think it's how I communicate, how I say and advocate something. But no, listening is part of the communication process, right?
And it's probably the most important part of it, you know, because you even think about how back in your educational days, whether it was college or school, you know, did you ever have a course just on listening? No. You know, we had courses on how to present. We even had courses on how to read, but we should be doing more listening so that we can interact and communicate more effectively, but we don't even know how to listen sometimes. And so in the book, I talk about the five steps to empathic listening, and it really helps us to to hone in on what does it take to be a good listener. But one thing that any one of us can do anytime is just practice being present in the moment. Practice just being in the moment. That's extremely difficult for so many people because we are so fast-paced. But a couple of things you can do while you're brushing your teeth. I know this sounds kind of silly, but think about just brushing your teeth. It's very difficult to do. I'm running around the house doing all kinds of things, and I'm not here to give you a lesson on brushing your teeth, but I am here to say, if you want to practice being present in the moment, you can just take an activity that you do so automatically. Driving is another one. How many people drive and, you know, you get somewhere and you're like, how did I even get there? We don't even think about driving anymore. But if you were to leave here today and just think about your driving, you'll see that it's just, it helps you to practice being present in the moment. It might make a safer road too, but.
Yeah, well, sure would. And how I practice that, Lori, is that when I'm washing dishes, I focus on waiting for the squeak as I'm cleaning the dish.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I, because most of the time you never even pay attention to that.
Nope.
So.
No.
All right, we've gone way beyond our break. So Lori and I will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
In today's workplace, business leaders face significant pressure to recruit and retain the best employees, to effectively build a team, to create a culture that is healthy, productive, and dynamic, and to empower their staff in managing stress and finding balance. And behind all those pressures is one goal, to strengthen and grow the business. And too many organizations struggle with this. Unlimited Coaching Solutions provides customized strategies and training to help reach your goals and take your teams to the next level. Call them today at 585-248-9322 or find them online at unlimitedcoaching.com.
All right, Todd Schnick back with Lori Sudbrink. So, Lori, important conversation top half of the show on listening, but now I want to talk about the role that communication plays in inspiring people.
Yeah.
Help me understand that.
Well, first of all, it's important for everybody to know that that is one of the most, you know, one of the most important responsibilities of a leader is to inspire people, because that's what's going to help them move and be productive and accept change and all those kinds of things. And when it comes to communication and inspiring people, think for a moment about communication in terms of nonverbal and verbal too, because nonverbal communication, of course, it's all of the things other than the words and how we're acting, how we're being, the nonverbal things that we're showing, our facial expression, even our tone of voice and stuff is either inspiring or not inspiring to people. And if we have our intent in the right place and we're aligned in our, you know, our integrity and our truth, then that's going to be, it's going to come from a place of good energy and good intent. And that is more inspiring to people. When you're a positive role model, that's inspiring to people. When you stop and listen and you really are there in the moment with somebody, that's inspiring to that person. When you care about them, when you use your communication to connect with them, you adjust and adapt. That's motivational and inspiring to people. And even, you know, you think about the DISC styles and just all the differences that there are in people. And I think I mentioned this in another episode, but just realizing that people are going to be motivated for different reasons and we need to understand our teams and know our teams. Well, this is a great example of it, because we might need to use our communication to be very structured and serious and lay things out in a linear kind of fashion for some of the maybe C's and S's in the DISC profile. And we may need to come out with the shiny bullet points for the D's and the I's for others, so that, you know, we're really looking at our communication in a way that will help people connect and be inspired and motivated. If we know what their stressors are and we know what kind of their priorities are, then we can use our communication to help connect in that way. And some people have spoke up in my leadership class and said, well, isn't that manipulating people? You know, and it really...
Well, that's the question I was going to ask is when you have to adapt your style to inspire others, where do you draw the line in that becoming inauthentic?
Yeah. How do you stay true to yourself and be genuine? And how do you do it in an intent that is in the, you know, the right way? And so that it's important to think of it as a tool to connect and communicate. It's just like a different language. If I spoke Spanish and someone spoke another language, Japanese or whatever it is, we would have to find a way to communicate with each other. So it's the same thing with these DISC styles and adjusting and adapting to each other. Our nonverbals are sending messages. In fact, they say 93% of a message that's received is from everything other than the words. It's the tone of voice. It's the everything that you see from a person. And so we're sending those messages. It doesn't matter what our intent is. What people are getting is whatever they're seeing. And so we've got to be highly aware if we are aligned in the right way and sending the message that we want to. You know, it pops into my mind is sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Because sarcasm, some people think, oh, there shouldn't be any sarcasm in the workplace. I'm not of that belief. I do think there's a place for sarcasm. I think it can be fun. I think it can be inspirational. I think it can be motivational. It's all about the intent behind the sarcasm and knowing how someone else is receiving that sarcasm. So if you're emotionally intelligent, if you're, you know, in tune, if you're respecting other people, you're watching their nonverbals and stuff, you'll kind of see if what you're saying is working or not. And you don't want to assume that you know for sure based on their nonverbals, but it's a point for you to check in, see how they're doing.
Well, if you have trust, sarcasm will have its intended effect, right?
Exactly. That's it, you know, and that's the thing. If you trust and you've built that good foundation of trust, you've shared your truth, they know that, you know, where your intent is, then yeah, then it's going to have a good intent. Too often, though, managers and leaders, I see them hide behind sarcasm to give feedback or to make their point. There's a time and a place for it, and we've got to make sure, just like any tool, that we use it in the right way.
I hope this is worthy of talking about, but we've been talking a lot about the context of the leader communicating to the team, but I think there can be some impact here in having your grit together as being a member of the team communicating to your superiors. Yeah, is there any value to that thinking?
Oh, definitely. You know, and that's why Leading with Grit is one of those books that is not just for the C-suite level. It's for any level, because the tools and the tips in here will help you to be able to communicate across, communicate up, realizing that you can use it as a tool. And the way, you know, your sarcasm might be coming across, or the way that you're not being direct enough. Maybe you're not asking enough questions. Maybe you're not speaking up in a meeting, that kind of stuff. And having the courage to use your communication as a tool to connect whatever in whatever level it is in the organization.
All right. And you have a resource to share here as well, yes?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, there's tips for engaging in healthy dialogue. That's a PDF you can download from your site there, Todd.
All right. That's also from the book too. So
yes,
you can
is.
Find
yep.
it there as well. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Lori, before I let you go, should anyone have any questions on Leading with Grit and the role that communication plays, how can they contact you and learn more?
Yeah, we'd love it if you visit our website, leadingwithgrit.com. We've got some free weekly tips you can sign up for, lots of other resources on there, and you can even connect with me right there on leadingwithgrit.com.
All right. So on behalf of my co-host, Lori Sudbrink, I am Todd Schneck. Join us next week on Leading with Grit when we discuss how to be and how to hold people accountable. Until then, Todd and Lori signing off. We'll see you next week.